So verse number 5 tells us, trust him with all thine heart. That's all that you need to do tonight to become a Christian, is to trust the Lord Jesus with all thine heart. You don't need to understand everything that the Bible teaches. You don't need to you don't need to try to be a good person. You don't need to try to impress God with all your good actions. The verse simply says, trust him with all thine heart. Trust that the Lord Jesus died for your sins. We're going to open the meeting tonight just with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you, and we're so thankful that we can open your word tonight, and we can read about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can sing these songs that would tell us about a shelter in the time of storm. And we can think of the family tonight that lost a family member and lost Timmy, and we think of how in their lives that is a storm. And we're so thankful that Timmy had a shelter in the time of storm. He had a relationship with you. We're so thankful that we can know that tonight he is home in heaven. And we just pray that tonight someone may be able to trust in him and know that same destiny after they die. So this would be our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. We'd really like to welcome each one to the meeting tonight. My name is James. I live in Charlottetown. My wife is from here in O'Leary, so we like to visit sometimes. I was asked to speak tonight in the meeting. And one of the great things about the gospel message is someone can ask you to speak anywhere. You don't need to know all the people. You don't need to understand everything that's gone on, but you can still open the Bible and share God's message. The message is the same tonight. There's a gospel meeting happening where we live as well. People will be sharing the same message. It's wonderful to be able to share the message from the Bible. So we're going to read a few verses to begin in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 10. Romans chapter 3, we're going to read verse 10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. So this verse is telling us that on God's standard, we're all guilty. We're going to skip down to verse number 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. I just want you to notice it says, all the world may become guilty before God. It's one of the goals of a gospel meeting is that each one can recognize that we are guilty before God. But now, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, is displayed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So what that verse is telling us is that even for those who are guilty, we can have the righteousness of God. Even though God looks at me and says, you're guilty, your sin is guilty, we can have the righteousness of God. And how can I have that? How can I have the righteousness of God? It is by faith in Jesus Christ. It is by faith in Jesus Christ. Now I'd like to turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John chapter 10. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. This is a beautiful chapter, but we're just going to read one verse. John 10 and verse number 9. It says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So again, we have here the idea that the Lord Jesus is the door. we aren't the door. The gospel hall isn't the door. Living a good life isn't the door. Jesus Christ is the door. Now we're going to turn over to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 tells us the story of the flood. It's a quite a long story. We're not going to read all of the verses of it for the sake of time, but we will begin. There's a few parts of the story that are very important. Genesis chapter 6, and reading at verse number 5. And what I would like you to do as I am reading this story, I want you to, with half of your brain, I want you to be reading the story, and with the other half, I want you to be thinking of the verses we read in Romans. I want you to be trying to find maybe some commonalities between this story and the verses that we read in Romans. So if you can try to do that, both at the same time. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now listen to this. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And then he tells them the design of it. And we're going to read verse 16. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit thou shalt fashion it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower sections and third stories shalt thou make of it. Then verse 22 says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now chapter 7, verse 1 says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now we have this whole chapter. We're gonna skip to verse 16. And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. The Lord shut the door. That's all that we're going to read tonight. Really, when we think of those verses in Romans chapter 3, they're very solemn verses that present to us just simply the reality of the human condition. One of the things that just me as an individual, one of the things that I appreciate about the Bible is that the Bible doesn't always tell me what I want to hear. Sometimes in life we go to friends or family and really we just want them to just tell us something nice because we just feel like we need, it's nice when people tell you nice things. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. What you did, that was great. Good job. Keep it up. Whatever. You know, any kind of word of encouragement. Sometimes it just feels nice for people to just tell us things that they like about us. That's a very normal thing. But if that's all that we hear, we can get a kind of a warped view of ourselves. Sometimes it's very helpful, even though if it's maybe painful at first, sometimes it's very helpful if someone comes to us and says, you know what? Look, I know you're trying, but you're going in this direction, and I don't think that's the right direction. You might be going off track. And the Bible is excellent at that. It's simply honest. And the Bible doesn't tell us that we might be going off track. The Bible tells us, actually, from the very beginning, we have gone off track. Romans chapter 3 is brutally honest with us. It says there's not one that is righteous. The Bible doesn't tell us that there's a few people at the very top who they work the hardest, and they're just the most sacrificial people. They're the most giving. They're the outstanding citizens in the community. And those people are righteous, and everyone else is not. Bible simply tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. And simply tells us we are all guilty before God. That's why I wanted to read there at the end in Romans 3 and 19. It says, and all the world may become guilty before God. Tonight in the meeting tonight, we look at you. I look at you. I don't know all of you. But I'm going to generally assume that you're on a human level, you're a good person. I work as a teacher, and sometimes we hear, oh, there's some kids and they're bad kids. And you start working with them, you start talking with them, and you realize, oh, there's no bad kids. There's just kids who maybe have developed a pattern of bad behavior. But on a human level, we can appreciate each other as we're all good people living this life. But something very important from the Bible is that before God, we're not righteous. We're not right with him. We're guilty. And that's what these verses want us to simply admit, want us to just simply be honest before God. I'm guilty. So I'm going to challenge you tonight, not between me and you, especially for the people that I don't know well. I'm not going to ask you to come to me and tell me that you are guilty before God. But I'd like to challenge you, just in your own heart tonight, are you able to simply tell God, God, I don't know everything about you, but I am going to tell you, I'm guilty before you. Your word tells me I'm guilty. My heart tells me I'm guilty. When I think back to my life, I know I've tried, I've done some good things, but I can think of some things I've done that aren't right either, and I am guilty before God. So that's my challenge to you, my first challenge. Are you able to be honest before God? Simply confess to him, God, I'm guilty. That's what your word tells me. I'm going to tell you, God, you're right. Exactly what you're telling me is true. I am guilty. Something else that is very important from this passage, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So not only is the Bible honest with us that we're guilty, but the Bible is brutally honest with us and tells us, you know what? Not only are you guilty, but unfortunately, there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. You are a sinner, and worse than just being a sinner to start with, there's nothing you can do to change your current situation. We cannot make ourselves righteous. There's nothing we can do to change our situation. We're guilty before God, and that's how we will stay on our own. I can try my best. I can try to be good. I think if you're honest, if you really think about it, each time we do something, there's always some ulterior motive that can come behind it. You know, I do something good and I'm wondering, did anyone notice me? I tried to do that good thing, but maybe I have some pride or some ulterior motive behind it. The Bible tells us not only are we guilty, there's nothing we can do about it. But the wonderful thing that Romans chapter 3 presents to us is verse 22, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. So that's why I wanted to read to you John 10 and 9. I should have checked to make sure there was a chart before I turned around, but the door right there, John 10 and 9. The Lord Jesus says, I am the door. So we are guilty. There's nothing we can do to change our guilt, but Jesus presents himself as the door. And all that guilt that I have accumulated, years and years of defying God, of rejecting him, of being unkind to other people, of harming other people, of having bad thoughts in my mind, years and years of accumulated sin, the Lord Jesus bore that on himself, paid it, and now he can offer me an open door. The Lord Jesus offers to you tonight an open door. That's why I wanted to challenge you to be honest with God about your guilt. If you can do that, if you can be honest with God and say, God, you know me. You are God. You are the all-knowing being. You created this world. You know that I'm guilty. I'm going to be honest and accept that your word is true. The amazing thing is that when you do that, God presents to you his son. Yes, you are guilty. And I have provided something for you. I've provided you an open door. Now, if this was school, what I would be doing now is I'd be giving everyone a little Google form, and everyone would be whipping out their phones, and they'd be replying to the Google form, and they'd be trying to take all the aspects of Romans 3, and they'd be trying to link them to aspects of the story of the flood. So I think we could do that together pretty easily. So the first aspect is we're all guilty before God. So where do we see that in Genesis? Well, in Genesis, I mean, it's over and over again in chapter 6. The world was just full of violence. God looked down and just saw people have gone horribly off track. If you go back to Genesis 1, God created the world and it was good. And then Adam and Eve sinned. And they rejected God. They left the garden. And then they had children and Cain killed his brother. And from the very start of human history, we have sin and our guilt before God. And God looked down in Genesis 6 and said, the world has gone terribly off track. They're full of guilt. So that's the first aspect we have, guilt before God. Then we have God's provision. So when God looked at this world full of violence, there was nothing people could do. It was only evil continually. So not only were people guilty, but it was only evil continually. People couldn't get out of the rut they were in. They had sin nature inside of them, and they were continually doing what was wrong. So what did God do? God said, well, I'm a righteous judge. God is a righteous and holy God. He must punish sin. He looked at this world and said, I have to punish sin. But I want to offer people a way of salvation. And he told Noah, after saying, Noah, this world is so full of violence, I'm going to destroy it. But build an ark. Build this big, massive boat. It's going to be so big, anyone can enter in. Whoever is willing to enter through the door of the ark can be saved. So that's God's provision. Just like in Romans 3, Romans 3 tells us, we can be righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. Putting my faith in Jesus Christ. Well, what does that look like? When I put my faith in Jesus Christ, what's that like? Well, for 120 years, Noah was building the ark. 120 years is a really long time. And for 120 years, Noah was preaching to people about salvation. He was telling people, you're guilty before God. God has told me. He's looked down and he's just seen the earth is full of violence and he has to judge it. But I'm building this ark and God has told me if anyone enters in this ark, they'll be saved. This ark is built to be a salvation for everyone. And God, when God told me how to design the ark, he told me about the door. The door is going to be right there. And all you have to do is enter in that door. And people heard from Noah the exact same thing that we're telling you tonight. That you are guilty, but there's a way of provision for you. And what did people have the opportunity to do? People had the opportunity to enter the door. And tonight, it's wonderful to be here in O'Leary. And we can tell you, there is an open door for you tonight. There is an open door for you. It says it's for all, unto all them that believe. If you trust in Jesus Christ tonight, you can be saved. Doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter how important or unimportant you feel that society has determined. None of those things matter. All that matters is, will you enter the door? And the Lord Jesus is the door. So I want you to try to picture in your mind Noah preaching this message. And I want you to imagine someone listening and saying, yeah, you know what? When I look around, society is a mess. There's violence everywhere. I think what Noah's telling is true. And I look at my own heart and there's such violence in my own heart. Noah's telling the truth. He's building this ark and there's the door. You know what? I'm going to believe the message. I'm going to enter in that door. That person would have been saved. Now, Genesis tells us that the sad reality is that there was only 8 people that were saved. Only 8 people were saved. Noah's family, his wife, 3 sons, their wives. 8 people were saved. Now that's really sad. That's really sad. And it reminds me that as much as I would like to stand in front of each one of you tonight and be really happy and tell you tonight, I believe that everyone here is going to be in heaven. And it's totally possible. The sad reality is that Noah would have preached the gospel to thousands and thousands. He preached for 120 years. Who knows how many people could have heard this message? And the vast majority of them rejected the message. Now, it's really nice. It's really comforting for me to preach this message here because I know many of people here are already a Christian. And it makes me, it's a bit more positive, easier to preach the message when you know there's so many people here who have already accepted it. But the truth is that you tonight have a decision to make. The door is open tonight. I was going to read in Matthew 7 and 21 where people come and they say, Lord, Lord, like they come to the Lord and the Lord says, depart from me. I never knew you. You know, that door is open. But there's a closed door. It also says Luke 13. There's different verses that can point us to the fact that there's a door of opportunity that is going to close. And tonight in the meeting, one of the realities of the gospel message that we have to tell you is the opportunity may close. You know, the ark, it's the flood, it's an interesting story because kids, I feel like as a kid, I loved the story of the flood. You know, the animals on there, and it's so vivid. You can really picture this big storm, and something about the story of the flood as a kid is just really fascinating. And then you become an adult, and you think about the story of the flood and their implications. How many people died out of the ark? It's a terrible, terrible story. But it reminds us of the consequences of rejecting Christ. That the door is open tonight, and we would love so, so strongly for someone tonight to accept the message. But that door will close. You know, I read in Genesis chapter 7, the Lord shut them in. And I want to quickly change the tone as I conclude, because when I was thinking about the story of the flood, and I was thinking about, okay, I can get off going in 10 different directions. And what do I want to be my main thing that I want to leave people? I wanted people to be left with the feeling of what it would have been like for Noah to be inside the ark. I want you to think about, what would Noah have felt inside the ark going through that storm? It would have been so amazing. He would have felt so safe. Inside the ark, he would have heard the waves. He would have heard the wind. He would have felt the ark. But he would have felt so safe. His confidence was in God. And just that feeling of safety, if you're inside, that's what I want you to think about. And I hope that tonight, if you're here tonight and you're like, I'm not a Christian yet, I want you to be attracted to that feeling of safety. You know what? I would love to have that feeling of safety. I would love to have that feeling of peace inside of me to know that no matter what happens in my life, no matter how long I live, no matter how short and how sudden my death may come to me, I'll be safe. I'll be safe. And we don't speak about Timmy to take advantage of his life or anything for our own motives. But I was honestly thinking, you know, for Timmy to be safe inside the ark. You know, he's in heaven right now. And I was just thinking, how amazing it is to know when the end comes, no matter when it is, I'm safe inside the ark. But Noah made a choice one day to go through the door. There was a moment in time where Noah walked up to the ark. He went through the door. He put his confidence, not in the building of the ark, he put his confidence in God's promise that the ark would save him. And the Bible tells us there is righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And I hope tonight, if there's someone who's not saved, that you can think of how amazing Noah would have felt to be safe through that storm. And I would like to feel safe as well as I go through life.